9, if you're not already there. And this Torah portion, I mean, they're always interesting, but this one is, as I was asking the Lord to show me what to speak about, and this kind of just jumped out. And this is one of those Torah portions, at least for me, where all the things that I really felt like the Lord was giving me were really in the portion. You know, a lot of times you bring in other scriptures, and I'm going to do that as well, but there's so many good, concrete, practical things in here, and it all is pointing in a certain direction, at least it was for me. Let's start with the opening verse, which is Deuteronomy 29:10, that says, "You are standing today, all of you, before the Lord your God, the heads of your tribes, your elders, and your officers, all the men of Israel." So we're here at the end of Deuteronomy. There's only a few chapters left. Nitzavim is really the portion just before, it's always the portion just before Rosh Hashanah. So we know we're getting close to the end, because as soon as those high holidays start, they come fast and furious, don't they? Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. By the end of it, you need a vacation, right? You need a break. But they're going to happen, and they're going to happen fast. And so we know that as soon as all those feasts happen, we get to Simchat Torah, rejoicing in the Torah, which is where we basically roll the scroll back to Genesis. We're very close to the end. And so in this book, Devarim, Deuteronomy, at the end, as throughout the rest of the book, Moses is giving us his farewell address. He's giving us the last words. You know, it's those last words of the wise old sage before they go in and do what they need to do, which is take the land. And we're talking about a long time coming. I don't know if you've ever had a situation where you've been waiting on something for a while. Maybe you've been waiting for a couple of weeks. Maybe you've been waiting for a couple of months. Maybe it's been a few years. But this was 40 years in the wilderness. And before that, 430 or so years in Egypt. So they were waiting for a while. And they're finally about to get in there. So what's interesting about Nitzavim is there is a lot of comfort in this Torah portion. And there almost should be, because just before Nitzavim, just before chapter 29, we have, of course, chapter 28. And chapter 28 starts off nice with some blessings for obedience, right? But then there's a lot of curses for disobedience. So it gets kind of negative in 28. It gets kind of, I don't know, it gets kind of frightening, so to speak. There is 98 curses written in chapter 28. Now, Jewish commentators and scholars believe that the children of Israel were pretty frightened after going through those 98 curses. You know, even if you have a couple of good, you should always end on a good note, right? Well, God doesn't want to end on a good note here. He gives a couple of good things. Here's some really nice blessings if you obey me. But let's talk about the other stuff too. And then, boom, 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 boom. He lays out 98 curses. So they were probably pretty frightened. And I think a lot of Jewish commentators and scholars believe that. Now, Rashi also actually says that fear, that frightened state, that fear is and was actually healthy for them because it would prevent them from sinning. Well, that didn't really happen. But if they did sin after the 98 curses and the frightening nature of it all, if they did sin, the punishments would ultimately bring them atonement. This is what Rashi said. And that's interesting. So blessings if they would follow the Torah, a lot of curses if they wouldn't. We know, unfortunately, that Israel didn't, right? We know that they fell into the 98 curses, and because of that, there was problems for them. There was sin, there was turmoil, there was exile, there was problems. Even today, the nation of Israel, so to speak, is in the diaspora. And from the time of the Babylonian diaspora, the Babylonian exile, hundreds and hundreds of years before Yeshua, until just about 8 or 9 years ago, the majority of Jewish people were outside of the land of Israel, then inside the land of Israel. They were in the diaspora. And it just so happened that the scales have just recently tipped. How interesting that the majority of Jewish people in the world are literally in the state of Israel now. Just a majority of people. So what I mean by that is not a majority of Jewish people are in Israel, but there's just a few more Jewish people in Israel than in the next largest country, which happens to be our country, America, the United States. But this has been going on for hundreds of years. So there's diaspora, there's all these shortcomings and mistakes and sins, but we know, we believe, that as Rashi said, it's true, these things can ultimately drive us towards the Lord, ultimately. Why? I believe it's because we recognize, as the curses are happening, as the sin and the disobedience is going on, that we recognize that we can't do it ourselves. That we recognize that we screwed up pretty bad, and it's going to take more than us fixing it or turning around for it to, the ship to get righted. And that's when we cry out to God. You know, most people come to the Lord when there is a tragedy, there's a situation, there is a devastating series of events, and they need God. They can't do it themselves anymore. And this is the thing I think we're talking about, is that Israel did realize it over and over again, but then they forgot over and over again. Well, we need to realize that we can call upon the name of the Lord, and we can return to the Lord. And we need to also realize, and I think Nitzavim really spells it out, that God wants a relationship with us. Even though there's 98 curses, you might think, oh, he's really upset. He's really mad. And yeah, he's probably upset, but that doesn't stop him from loving us. And that doesn't stop his covenant that he made, that he can't break because he's God and he doesn't break covenants. And also that he wants a relationship with us. So let's talk about that as we go through this Torah portion today. Our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all creation, our God is different than all the other gods of the world, all the other false gods of the world. How many of you took in high school or even college, how many of you took Latin? A lot of people, actually, I took Latin, 2 years of Latin, and I thought it would help me on the SATs. That's at least what they said. It didn't help me on the SATs. But I learned a lot about the false gods of the Greeks and Romans, right? You've heard a lot about the false gods, and there was a god for this, and there was, oh, I don't want to upset this god over here. This is what the people believed. And so we're familiar with the Greeks and Roman gods, which is pretty much the same gods. The Romans just basically borrowed everything from the Greeks. But there's other false gods, right, in the Bible. There's Baal. There's all these other little gods going around. And basically, these gods are all about compliance. These gods are saying to their flock, their people, whether it's the Hittites or the Jebusites or the Greeks or whatever, you must comply, you must bow down, and you must worship, right? And if you don't, that's it. You know, off with your head or whatever. There's this compliance aspect. There's a fear aspect, and it's all about fear. It starts with fear, and it ends with fear. We don't have a God like that. We don't have a God that it starts with fear, and it ends with fear. We have a God that is about relationship. This is vastly different than the other gods of the world and throughout time. Our God is different. He wants us to do the right thing, of course. There is blessings for doing the right thing and curses for doing the wrong thing. We teach our children that, right? You screw up, there's consequences. You do good, there's blessings. But ultimately what God is trying to get us to see is that he wants more than just a compliance. He wants a relationship with us. And that's the difference between our God and the other gods. Deuteronomy 29:13. That he, God, may establish you today as his people, and that he may be your God, as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. This is just one verse that gets us an idea that God has a relationship aspect with us, okay? Yes, you have to do some things, but I'm going to take you as my people. That language isn't found with all these other false gods. That language is not found with the Baals. He will be our God. We will be his people. He wants a relationship with us, and he is offering to us a relationship with him, and that is if we choose to follow after God. There's a relationship. Deuteronomy 30, so go to the next chapter, Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. Also in our Torah portion, God says this, "See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil." Okay? God is saying, I've given you this choice. And the key word here, you could say the key word is choice, but really the key word here is today. Today. Okay? The word today, we read it in Deuteronomy 30:15 at the end of the Torah portion. We read it also in Deuteronomy 29 at the beginning of the Torah portion. And it's not just said once, today. It's repeated, verses 10 of chapter 29, verses 10, verses 12, verse 13, verse 15. God is trying to tell us something when he's repeating things. He repeats the word today. Today is the day to choose the Lord. Today is the day to choose a relationship with him. Now, here is what the new leader of Israel after Moses, Joshua, says as they were about to settle in the land. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 24. 24:15. Now, again, today, he's getting us to understand he wants a relationship and he doesn't want it far off in the future after you've proven to him that you can follow him. Okay? He wants a relationship with us today. This is what Joshua says to the people as a conduit of the Lord. Joshua 24:15. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day, choose today whom you will serve. Whether the gods of your fathers served in the region beyond the river, that's the compliance gods, those are the false gods, or the gods of the Amorites whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So there's a choice. Adonai, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is reaching out his hand to the children of Israel today for a relationship with them. Now, and Alice touched on these verses too, and I want to read a couple of verses back in chapter 29, we can always say to ourselves, and people say this all the time, the Bible is a great book, but it was written thousands of years ago, and it doesn't apply to my life today. It's not relevant to my life today. But the word today still means today, as in 2019. Deuteronomy 29, 10 through 15. What does Nitzavim tell us even further about this day? You are standing today, all of you. Now he's speaking to Israel thousands of years ago. You are standing today, all of you, before the Lord your God. The heads of your tribes, your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones, your wives, and the sojourner who is in your camp, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water, so that you may enter into a sworn covenant of the Lord your God, which the Lord your God is making with you today. Verse 13, that he may establish you today as his people, and that you may be, he may be your God, as he promised you and as he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now here's the key verses we need to focus in on now, 14 and 15. It is not with you alone that I'm making this sworn covenant, but with whoever is standing here with us today before the Lord our God, and with whoever is not here with us today. Now, in Judaism, there is a concept that at Mount Sinai, God was speaking to the children of Israel that were there at Mount Sinai thousands of years ago. But he was also speaking to Jewish people today, to people even today. And that's a big concept in Judaism. What that means is the concepts, the precepts, the blessings and curses, the Torah itself, the Bible itself, is just as relevant for you and I today as it was thousands of years ago. And this confirms it in Nitzavim. These verses confirm it because God clearly says in verse 15, and whoever is not here with us today, that's you and me. Now that's like I said, that's a big concept in Judaism, and that's a big concept for us today even. This was for everyone, not just the ones that looked the part, not just for the greatest in Israel, not just the heads of the tribes or the people that said the right things or the people that did the right things, from the greatest to the least, to those standing back there and those of us standing here today. What we know is God desires a relationship with all of his creation. What other God besides our God, not the other gods, what other God besides our God wants a relationship with the one that's drawing the water, the woman at the well, and with, you know, the Sanhedrin people? God wants a relationship, and that's why I think Yeshua came, and when he spoke a lot to the least among him, because he wanted to make a point. This word is for you, just as it's for your leaders, and it is for you today. God desires a relationship with everyone. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 and 20, the last two verses of our Torah portion. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him. For he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. That's powerful. Who are we? You and I, the people back then, all of us here today, who are we that the creator of the universe, that the God of all creation, loves us and wants to be with us? That's amazing. If you just stop and think about that for a while, he is dealing with affairs in China right now. He's thinking about problems in Australia. And then he's also thinking about all of us here sitting in Melbourne, Florida. That's pretty amazing. And he's thinking that about every single person in the world right now. 7 billion people. He knows what's going on. He knows every hair on their head. If that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. But God is thinking about you and I. Let's look at a scripture verse in the New Testament in 1 John. We don't go to 1 John a whole lot. It's kind of a short book. And if you want to know where 1 John is, it's right before 2 John. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 16. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God's abide in him. I don't know what other gods of the Greeks and Romans talked so much about love and a relationship. Okay? We serve a God that loves us. We serve a God that wants to have a relationship with us. Now, here's the great part. He says all that stuff. Have you ever had a loved one or maybe someone that you cared a lot about that told you all these wonderful things about how they loved you, but they didn't take it any further? They didn't show you how to love them. They didn't take it any further than that. It was just empty words, but you couldn't figure out what to do. Do they like flowers? Do they like this? Do they like that? And they were coy with you or whatever. Well, God not only tells us he loves us, but he shows us the way to have a relationship. He doesn't make it a mystery that, oh, now what do I do? I want to have a relationship with God, but what do I do? Do I go and pray for 24 hours? Do I go and fast? God spells it out, and he actually spells it out in Nitzavim. And I want to read another verse that Alice picked up on that's a really key verse for us here. Deuteronomy 29, 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. He doesn't just give you the law and say, have at it. There's a lot of curses if you screw it up. Good luck. He says that he is a God that's going to explain it to us. At the end of 29, that we may do all the words of the law, that we may fulfill this, that we may have that relationship. He explains it to us. Now, it is true. There are secrets of the Lord. There are things the Lord does not reveal to you and I, okay? But that's not what we're talking about here. He is giving you and I everything we need to have a proper and loving relationship with our God. The problem is people don't feel like they know the secret. Does anybody remember that book several years ago that came out called The Secret? It was like a New Agey kind of book. And, you know, a lot of times when people talk about prophecy and end times or even a relationship with God, it's all secretive. It's like, well, you have to know the secret handshake, right? You have to know you have to understand and be able to have the decoder ring to figure out really what God wants. That's not how God operates. So if you see any books that talk about the secret, you can not buy them. You can throw them away. There is no secret when it comes to having a relationship with our God. It's true that God doesn't reveal everything to us and that the secret things do belong to him. But here's the thing. I used to want to be able to know the future. I used to want to be able to know what's going to happen next year. What's going to happen? How are my kids going to end up? What's going to happen? And now I'm like, I don't want to know, Lord. Why do I not want to know? Because God knows. God knows, and that's okay. Because here's the thing. A good parent, any good parent, doesn't tell their kids everything at once. When my kids were really young, I didn't reveal to them all the ways of the world, right? So that they could understand and be able to. No, I didn't let them out of a house until they were a certain age. I didn't let them walk along in the street alone until they were a certain age. I told them how to operate this, not until they were a certain age. Because a good parent withholds information out of the best interest for their child until it's time. Because those little kids, they're not developed enough, whether it's mentally or physically, to do things until a certain time. And a good parent knows that, and a good parent waits and withholds that kind of information until they need to tell them. Our Heavenly Father is a good parent. And He is not giving us all the information that we need to know today, because that's going to be too much for us. It's going to blow our minds, okay? But maybe as we go along in our relationship with Him, He is going to reveal more and more to you. But this requires a trust that He is a good Father. This requires a faith that He wants what's best for you, and that He is going to reveal things to you as you need to know them and as you grow and develop, okay? So we need to be very clear about that. But the ways of God today, the relationship with God, is not too difficult. Let's read a few more key verses about this in Nitzavim. Deuteronomy 30, 11 through 14. For this commandment that I command you today is not too hard for you, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that you should say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart, that you can do it. That's encouraging, right? Weren't you encouraged when your parents said to you after you fell off your bike that fifth time and scraped your knee, you can do it, right? I know I was encouraged. And if they were be discouraging about that, oh, you'll never get this. Come on, you just need to work harder. That's kind of a negative reinforcement, right? God is giving us positive reinforcement here. Listen, you've got everything you need to know to have a relationship with me today. It's in your mouth and in your heart, verse 14 says, so that you can do it, okay? God doesn't give us burdens that will be too hard for us when it comes to this. He doesn't, you ever seen the shows where, you know, the cartoons where the carrots dangled in front of whatever it's the Roadrunner or somebody. The carrots dangled, or have you seen that Geico commercial where the old guy's fishing, right? And the carrot's right there. Oh, you almost got it. It's like a dollar bill. And they go to get the dollar bill, and the dollar bill's yanked just before they get it. That's pretty cruel. That's not the kind of God we serve. He's not going to dangle that carrot of a relationship with the God of the universe and not let us take the carrot. He's not going to let us just not have it. Now, these verses from Nitzavim that I just read are actually repeated in the New Testament. These verses find their complete fulfillment in Messiah Yeshua. You know, and we're going to get to it in a minute, turn to Romans chapter 10. You know that Yeshua came to not just change things or create a new religion, as a lot of people think. He came to explain, to illuminate, and to find the final fulfillment of what God was trying to do this whole time. True relationship with us. He wanted, when He created men and women, to have a relationship with Him. And what did we do? We screwed it up, all right? Then He provides all these prophets, and we don't listen. And maybe we'd listen a little bit, but we don't listen a lot. And He provides this law. We don't follow the law. Ultimately, 300 prophecies later comes Yeshua, fulfilling them, showing us this is the essence of relationship with Him. And He's taking these verses in Deuteronomy 30, and in Romans 10, verses 5 through 10, we read this. For Moses writes about the righteousness that's based on the law, the written word, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. So now he's going a little deeper now. Verse 6. But the righteousness based on faith says, Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Messiah down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Messiah up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we're proclaiming, that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, which is another word for coming to know God in a personal relationship, becoming saved, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So you see, God is giving us a little bit more clarity now about what he meant even right back in Nitzavim. He is saying the word is near you and I. The relationship with God is near, not far. It's not across the ocean. It's not when you do all these wonderful good deeds. You know, we have built religions and man-made denominations based on that, and all of them are guilty. Whether it's the Jewish, and Jewish people, it's like, okay, well, our good deeds have to outweigh our bad deeds. That's kind of a common thing at Yom Kippur. Or whether it's, Catholic people, which is, you have the rosary, right? And you got to make sure you pray those 10 Hail Marys and not 9, and 3 Our Fathers or whatever it is. But it's not based on that. It's the word is near you, and it's right here today for you to reach a hold of and grab. Because the relationship with God, what Israel was doing, following that Torah, learning about God and his love, here's the thing, they still messed up. They still sinned. They still did not follow God. We mess up and sin. We have the written word here. We have access so much more than the children of Israel did, thousands of years ago. But yet we still screw up. The words are right there for us and we still screw up. And it is just like Rashi says, that sin, that messing up, ultimately should point us to God himself. It should show us that we have come to the end of ourselves. And no matter how much you and I try, we still fall short. And the punishments would ultimately bring us atonement. Now, I don't have time to go through all the scripture verses on that, but the Bible is loaded with the scripture verses about atonement. So, the argument, and this is the last point with Nitzavim. The argument is 98 curses, we've screwed up, we're too far gone, God is really upset with us, we can't come back. But that is a lie. That's a lie from the enemy. Many times the children of Israel did sin, they broke the covenant time and again, and as a result, we know there was exile. We know that there was devastation. But as he says many times, it's not forever. We are entering the time of the high holidays. And in Judaism, especially at the time of the high holidays, there is a concept called teshuva. Teshuva means simply return. That's what it basically is translated as, return. That's what it means. It's the essence of what it means. It is associated with the high holidays. In fact, listen to this. During Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, talking about atonement, we read a series of verses, and they're called collectively Al Chet, right? You've heard of these, you've read them, you've gotten kind of convicted every Yom Kippur about them. Well, we go through all the bad things we did, kind of like I did this wrong, and then we say, I did that. But listen to what God says in the Al Chet. This is the portion at the end of that piece of liturgy that we're going to say in just a couple of weeks. We thank you, O Lord, for though you are slow to anger, you are compassionate, merciful, and quick to forgive us from all our transgressions and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now that's after about 20 things that we did wrong in the Al Chet. And the Al Chet, those 20 things, basically covers everything that you've done wrong and I've done wrong this year and throughout our whole lives. But even then, God is saying, I love you. I want a relationship with you. I want to cleanse you from that unrighteousness. Here's what the prophet Isaiah says. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 17. Therefore, the Lord does not rejoice over their young men and has no compassion on their fatherless and widows. For everyone is godless and an evildoer, and every mouth speaks folly. For all this, his anger has not turned away, and his hand is stretched out still. What a comforting verse. What a comforting verse. We have a God that says there's always a way back. We have a God that says no matter what you did to break the covenant, no matter how unfaithful you were to me, I still want a relationship with you. You can read the book of Hosea to see that. God uses the prophet Hosea, marries a prostitute, to show the nation of Israel about unfaithfulness, about how God ultimately is faithful to his people no matter what. We have a God that says that. He is different than the other gods in that he says that and he means it. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 2 and 3, part of our Torah portion. This is what God says to us. And return to the Lord your God, you and your children, and obey his voice that I command you today with all your heart and with all your soul. Then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have mercy on you, and he will gather you again from all the peoples where the Lord your God has scattered you. Now, whether Israel today realizes it or not, that is exactly what's been happening the last 70 years. Out of nowhere, miraculously, the desert land of Israel that had been stomped on by the Gentiles for 2,000 years started to sprout again. And we know that the Jewish people started returning. And they started returning. And they started returning. And we have Jewish people from all over the world that are resettling in Israel today. We have Ethiopian Jews. We have Russian Jews. We have Jews from Eastern Europe. We have Jews from South America and even North America. And they're returning to Israel. And it's a fulfillment. God is saying, I will gather you again. Remember what we talked about from the Babylonian exile to about 8 years ago. The number one population for Jews was not Israel. Today it is. There is something going on. God is bringing his people back prophetically, supernaturally. He loves his people. He loves all people. And he's saying, come back. Come back with your heart and soul. I'm going to reestablish that covenant, that relationship with you. Now, as we close, I want to end with one more verse. Turn to Matthew chapter 4. I want to end with the words of Yeshua. Now, this is what Yeshua said to us 2,000 years ago, and it's still what he's saying to us today. At the beginning of Yeshua's earthly ministry, he didn't come in. Have you ever seen, did you see the new version of Aladdin? You know, where Prince Ali Baba comes in and everybody, you know, the trumpets are blowing and the grand entrance. Yeshua didn't come in like that. He could have, but this is what he comes in saying. From that time on, Yeshua began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have a God that wants us to turn from our evil ways, turn from all the things we've done and all the curses that have occurred in chapter 28, and he wants us to turn to chapter 29. He wants us to turn to Nitzavim. He wants us to come back to him because he is a compassionate and loving God who desires a relationship with us today. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, because we have done all those bad things. We have broken your covenant. Israel has all throughout history. Mankind has certainly all throughout history. But Lord, you still hold out your hand to us. You still are calling us today and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So Lord, as we come before you today, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you in a personal way, that doesn't have a relationship with you, Lord, that doesn't believe that your hand is outstretched, Lord, I ask you to just speak to them even now, right now. Speak to them words of comfort. Speak to them words of compassion. Help them to see that the word is near them. Lord, and if there's anyone here today that has fallen away and has done what we've always done in Israel's history and backslidden or forgot the Lord, chased after the other gods of the world, Lord, bring us back today. It's just one word. The word is near us in our mouth and our hearts. So, Lord, I ask that you would speak to each and every person here. Convict them, Lord God. Show them and help them to see that you love them and there is a way back. There is a way back today. They just need to reach out and say, forgive me of my sins, and I desire a relationship with you, Lord, through Yeshua. We thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for that new life. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen. Amen.